are live. Hi, everybody. I am Derek. This is Screen Heroes episode 107. I have my two normal hosts with me, Ryan.
Hello.
And Ray.
That's crap. Every other week, we're lovely and wonderful. Today, we're normal.
Because we have a lovely guest.
I'm not sure. Oh, so we're less lovely by comparison. Is what yes. I'm getting at. Okay.
Yes, you are. But we do have a guest, John, from Worst Comic Podcast Ever.
Thank you very much for getting the name of the show right. That's very unusual. Even our sponsor normally doesn't get the name of the show right, so that's fantastic. We've been called just about everything. So yeah, the Worst Comic Podcast Ever. Very nice. Thank you.
Usually when you're not here, Derek just leaves out the comic part.
Right. There actually is a Worst Podcast Ever. There's actually a podcast called that.
Wow.
So, but we didn't know about that one before we started ours.
That'll happen.
Yeah.
If you go to, so our handle is at Heroes Podcasts.
Right.
It's plural, but if you leave it singular, it's an old Heroes TV show podcast.
Yes.
So
check that out. I'm sure it's very topical.
Yeah. Hey, season one of that podcast could have been pretty good. Right. Season one of Heroes was actually pretty solid.
Yeah, they should have just ended it.
And then I had so much hope for the relaunch. And it just immediately went, I think three episodes in, I'm like, I literally don't care if everyone in this show dies tomorrow. Like, I do not care about anybody.
That's harsh.
I'm just telling you how I felt.
I appreciate that, in honesty. Yeah. Well, that was Zachary Levi.
Yes.
Oh, good segue.
He is our new Shazam, and Ryan and John have very strong opinions about the costume.
It's funny, I feel evil now, too, because I'm drinking out of the Black Adam glass. So
maybe that's why you're so negative about the suit.
Exactly.
I'm sure Black Adam's will be so much cooler.
I bet it will be. He doesn't.
Black always looks cooler.
Come on. He doesn't have the cape. And hey, listen, pre-shots of costumes are so difficult to really get a good judgment on.
Everything's made with CGI now.
Well, yeah.
The capes, especially in superhero movies.
Yeah, I mean, I bet that the lightning on the front, I wouldn't be surprised if it lights up the whole time.
Yeah.
Like if it's always just like crackles
or something.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see when it actually comes on. But I thought, you know, when we saw the first versions of the Flash outfit, it looked way too dark. But I think it plays pretty well on TV for me.
Mm-hmm.
This is the TV version, not the movie version per se. But the movie version was another little weird part for me. But I don't know how far afield we want to go on that. But I'm interested to see. The cape looks like it comes partway down. The Shazam cape looks like it comes partway down. And then there's a gap. And then there's like another cape attached to the first cape. I can't quite figure it out.
And he has a hood, which is very New 52.
You're right. The hood is the very New 52
version. That's like Justice League War.
The whole suit looks very much Justice League War.
Yeah.
I mean, the shots we got this week were much more, they were like high quality from a real DSLR, not somebody like doing cell phone pictures. So you could actually see that it's textured, which a lot of people were complaining about, that it didn't have texture and it was going to look weird next to Superman's suit, which is all textured.
Even though Superman's is alien and Shazam's is magic.
Well, Batman is human and he has texture on his suit too. So it's not really, I think it's just
it's true.
The way that they're going.
Why
in the
are
universe,
you so but, dirty?
I was messing with resin before I came over here.
She's a not project for about your hands. this is just a thought she was having earlier in the week. It's interesting about the Shazam thing. I'll be very curious to see if the Captain Marvel. Well, number one, will they call him Captain Marvel or Shazam?
I think they've already said it's Shazam. I mean, well, in the movie maybe they might call him differently.
Because in the books now they've gone to calling him Shazam.
I thought they lost the rights to Captain Marvel because Marvel sued.
They may not be able to call the book or the movie Captain Marvel, but they can call the character Captain Marvel.
Okay.
DC chose to call the character now Shazam, which doesn't make any sense because the wizard's name is Shazam. He just says the name of the wizard to turn into Captain Marvel, but they could still call him Captain Marvel. DC just said it's confusing and we're not going to do that. It makes some sense, especially with Marvel having a Captain Marvel movie coming out. So it's smart to do that. I totally get it. My other thing is, will Billy Batson and Captain Marvel have different personalities? Because before the mid-80s, after post-crisis, when Billy says Shazam turns into Captain Marvel, or Shazam, or whatever you want to call him, he's basically still Billy Batson in a grown-up body. And that's the way it's been since the 80s. Prior to that, Billy Batson and Captain Marvel were two different people. That basically Captain Marvel would take over.
I think casting Zachary Levi pretty much says that he's going to have the child's personality.
My guess is you're correct.
And I kind of hope that because I like that.
It's a fun play.
And that makes him a lot more different, a lot different than Superman. Otherwise, the two characters, you know, have very similar power sets. And there's and kind of a similar outline. And, you know, they both have red in their costumes. And,
right.
You know, I can see that being...
It does make it a little bit awkward if you then have a romantic situation.
That's true. Although I mean, having a crush on Wonder Woman would be interesting.
Right. Know? Oh, well, because we all do. But... If I'm a kid in an adult's body, who is it appropriate for me to hit on? Nobody. Right. If I hit on somebody who's my own real age, that's super creepy.
It's true. Right? I have a feeling you're gonna avoid that.
Right. And then if I'm with a woman who's the age of the character that I of the body that I'm in, and then like you know, Shazam! They're like, oh, that's awkward right in the middle of a romantic situation.
There's only
one woman in the whole DCEU, so it's that's not true. Gonna, I don't think it'll be a big deal.
There's two. Mira's there. Kind
that's
of.
True. That's true.
Okay.
That's true.
They made yeah. her a doll.
But she hasn't met the others yet, just Aquaman. So.
Correct.
Like, if this turns out to be a super-powered version of the movie Big, I'm actually on board for this.
Yeah, I hear you.
I have a feeling that's based on the director, that the way that they're going to go with it.
So, in chat, there's your answer. In the movie Big, the old Tom Hanks movie, that movie basically said it was okay for him to hit on the adults because he was in an adult's body. So, there you go.
Yeah. All right.
Because we all know that's a good thing to a bar to set.
And since I was a kid when that movie came out, I think I was okay with it.
Are you still okay with it? I think that's the question.
I'm not going to be in either one of the bodies, so it really doesn't matter.
That's not your problem.
Fair. We also got, besides Shazam, we got some casting news on the Teen Titans Go movie, which I know you guys despise, but I actually like Teen Titans Go, so... I'm sorry. I think it's hilarious. It's so meta. It's hilarious.
Well, they cast Nick Cage as Superman.
Yeah, which is amazing.
Tim Burton has wanted to do since he was just.
And if anybody at this table says they would not go see a Superman movie directed by Tim Burton starring Nicolas Cage called Superman Lives, they're fooling themselves.
I wouldn't.
Don't lie to me.
Awful.
You would go see it.
I haven't seen Tim Burton's last five films.
No,
I'm not going for that.
It's a Superman movie. I mean. You saw Man of Steel and you did not
Henry
like
Cavill.
It. I'm saying outside the DCEU.
And his weird baby mouth.
Whatever.
Like, I love that man.
Yeah.
His weird mustache.
That was awkward.
It was so
awkward. Well, I would just like to, because for you know, since we started the podcast, we have had an open invitation from Nicolas Cage to come on the podcast. And I would just like
that,
to.
I would say that continues
case,
over here, too.
Just
yeah.
in case that gets out, this he catches.
He does watch
this.
Sometimes.
I'm sure. I'm just waiting
in,
to see him come
in his castles.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
They had some other weird casting choices. I think they cast Lil Yachty, which is a mumble rapper from, I don't know, kids listen to him nowadays, as Green Lantern. Which is interesting, and there's some other casting that I can't remember.
So is it John Stewart or Hal
Jordan? I would assume John Stewart, but I don't know. It's this they don't
Kilowog,
usually bring
Kilowog, Kilowog.
They don't usually bring Green Lantern in on a TV show. They don't really have a lot of the adult characters, so I'm not. I don't know. The meta
super
jokes
weird.
Where you see pictures of them or stuffed animals of them, it's usually a white lantern. So you
mean
know,
like
I assume,
like Kyle Rayner,
you know,
white
like,
lantern, or
like a white person,
Caucasian,
yes,
Caucasian
sorry.
Lantern.
Okay,
but they
yes.
have had
yes.
had
power
some...
of white privilege.
That is the most powerful of the lanterns.
Is it?
So
we're not going to get into that.
No,
probably best.
We're not.
Sorry, I opened that door.
There's some other news. I think you brought something up before the podcast, didn't you? Or what were you saying?
The Fantastic Beasts trailer dropped today. And the Crimes of Grindelwald. And
is that the official title? Is that
what
I said it was? Yeah, it's a weird title.
It's a bad title.
Yeah,
it is a bad title, and I have a feeling it's going to be like my least favorite Harry Potter film.
Even like
I don't know.
Watch the Kids Go Camping one, because that one's pretty boring.
That's actually the name of it, I think. The Kids Go Camping.
Harry Potter and the Camping Trip.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
Harry Potter and Who Forgot the Graham Crackers.
Yeah.
Do they have
spoilers? It was Ron.
Of course it was Ron.
Ron would have eaten them all,
that's
I think.
True.
Rather
right, on the way. Yeah,
I did watch the trailer, and it was fine. I mean, I'm not that big into Harry Potter. I've watched them all, but I'm not. And I've read five of the books, I think.
So, I'm reminded of that quote from Parks and Rec where he's like, you made me watch all eight Harry Potter films.
It's kind of like that,
You love Harry Potter. You've seen all eight films.
Yeah, it's like kind of like that. I mean, I don't, the Fantastic Beasts stuff, I don't know that well. And
well, that's because it's all being made up.
I guess.
Like, I guess. There's zero reference.
There are no books to read ahead of time.
Well, that's the thing. Like, these movies are based off of a textbook about magical monsters. It's not really a story.
Right.
So
Jude Law looked fine as Dumbledore, and I mean, I don't know. It's very weird seeing him play a role that was so iconic.
Dumbledore has been like this fabulous man in cloaks and hats, and he looks so great, and then Jude Law comes in wearing this like shabby gray suit, and supposedly he is not going to be gay, and this is just the worst. Like,
maybe they just won't touch on that. They're just going to make it, there's no romantic interaction, so you don't know. It's ambiguous.
Here's the thing. Don't tell me it's an LGBT character and create this whole thing for representation and then sweep it under the rug. I want there to be LGBT characters that blend in and, you know, you don't have to say their sexuality, but we're not there yet. And these people look forward to it. They did the same thing with Holdo in Star Wars, The Last Jedi. And, you know, they're like, oh, well, we talked about her having a relationship in the book. Well, you know, most people missed out on that. She was still a really cool character. Dumbledore is still going to be cool, but
what if Dumbledore's only in the movie for like 10 minutes? And then do you want somewhere in there to jam in there?
With a dude, okay.
I think he's going to be in it a little bit more than that.
I don't know. I haven't read anything saying how much he's actually going to be in. I would assume if they cast Jude Law, then he'd have a slightly bigger part. But, I mean, you never know.
No, you're right.
I just think if he has limited screen time, then maybe that's not the best. But if he's going to be in the full hour and a half or whatever of the movie, then yeah, he should probably
be there's
something.
Just ways to better represent. We know that.
Sure.
So that's all.
Was there anything else that happened this week?
No, let's talk about A Wrinkle in Time.
Okay, so A Wrinkle in Time came out in theaters last week. We'll run over the numbers real quick, but this is...
I love the numbers.
I do. But this is your spoiler warning. If you haven't seen the movie and or read the book, we will probably be spoiling stuff here shortly. So, expensive movie in that it cost $100 million to make. Inexpensive in that, you know, Justice League and Civil War were $250 apiece.
Ava
Suicide Squad was
$165. Is the first Black female director to get that budget.
Really?
Yes.
Nice. Okay. Well, that's cool. I didn't know that.
Trivia.
But it did not do well. It made a grand total of $39.2 million internationally. That's
so far.
So far.
Right.
So
after
far.
After 5 days.
It hasn't been canceled yet.
But
still out.
But, you know, that's its opening weekend, made back 40% of its budget, which is not amazing. It got beat by Black Panther in its fourth week.
Yeah.
So, though of course, Black Panther is over $1 billion now, so that's not necessarily a fair comparison.
That Black Panther movie, a lot of people have seen it.
Yeah.
Some of us have seen it twice. I saw it two times.
I just saw it the once. Movies are too expensive now.
I hear you. I took the fam. I went to go see it with friends the first time, but I took the fam to go see it.
Yeah.
So, had to go back and see it again.
It's good.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, Wrinkle in Time, so how do you guys normally do this? Do we want to go in thumbs? Do we stars? Do we just start talking? Do we cast?
Thumbs and stars.
And stars.
Normally, we do like a little spoiler-free, like just initial thought.
Okay.
As a round table.
Right.
Then we dive in and destroy the film, and then we give it our rating at the end.
All right.
That's pretty accurate.
That's great. That's great. We don't always destroy the film, okay?
If it's there's a good one film. Movie, there's one movie we have reviewed that I felt better about it after we talked about it. One. And that was Thor Ragnarok.
Okay. Alright.
Which I agree with.
But. So, Ryan, why don't you tell us how you felt about A Wrinkle in Time, assuming you don't fall asleep in the middle of telling us.
Yeah, so it's a running gag. I fell asleep during this movie.
And you don't do that. You're just as big of a cinephile as we are.
Yeah, you guys have like gone to a lot of movies with me.
At all times of the night.
I think I don't really need to...
4 a.m. films together.
I think that alone says something about it. I just really didn't enjoy this movie.
I don't think this was made for
me. It wasn't made for me. Yeah. Admittedly, I went and saw it only because the podcast was reviewing it. If we weren't reviewing it, I would not have gone and seen it. So yeah, I'm probably going to be really negative this whole time. So I'm sorry. I'm not a big Disney movie fan in general. Or kids movie. So yeah, take that into account. But yeah, I did not like it. I thought it was pretty much a waste of $12 and an hour and a half or 2 hours or however much time I missed while I was sleeping of my time.
It is hard to gauge time while you're asleep.
Realistically, I think I only fell asleep for like 6 minutes or something, but it was during a really boring center section of the movie that I hated. So
quick aside back, I actually fell asleep during Black Panther, but that was because we went to go see the movie at like 11 and I don't go see movies at 11. And literally at 7 p.m. I was thinking, I can't believe I'm going to go see a movie tonight at 11 o'clock. I'm so tired. But I couldn't take a nap. I had work I had to do. And I definitely fell asleep. And then going back and watching it again, I realized, ooh, I missed a lot of this movie. I kept waking up during the final battle scene. But you know when you fall asleep and you really don't have a sense of time? I'm like, okay, this battle scene could have been 7 minutes or 45 or 2 hours, and I have no idea whatsoever. How all of a sudden there's rhinos, and then it's, I don't know what happened.
Which was probably the best part of
it. In all fairness, all of a sudden there were rhinos.
Right. The only movie I've ever dozed off during in theaters was the first Hobbit movie. I saw it at midnight release in the high frame rate, which was really disorienting, and I dozed off and woke up during the big barrel down the river sequence, which is kind of a long sequence.
That's the second movie.
Is that the second
movie? First of all, you guys are cute. As
you fell asleep during the first movie, and you were so long, you woke up during the second movie. Like, just no one from the theater got you up. It was a whole year later.
I mean, basically to the day, yeah. They just let me sit there.
You're actually celebrating your 40th birthday today. And
Wow.
Yeah.
You look great for 40.
Those movies feel really long, and I missed like an entire one. So. Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. You guys are cute. I, as a woman, could never fall asleep in public. That is just a big no-no.
Fair enough.
I had Colin and Jerry on both sides, okay. So I was in a little manwich there, so I was good.
Who doesn't like manwich?
Actually, I take it back. I had Jerry on one side, Colin was on the other side, and Ari Monroe was on this side. So I was surrounded by friends, so I was in a good place.
That's good.
But yeah, sorry. Back to Wrinkle in Time. Yes. Sure.
So John, what are your kind of spoiler-free-ish thoughts?
I would agree a lot. I found it pretty meh. I have reasons, but I want to, for the spoiler-free part, I felt like it was pretty slow. I just didn't get into a lot of what was going on. I didn't feel like there was a lot of great acting in the movie, to be 100% honest. And it was okay, and like I think I'm the only one at this table who actually has read the book. But to be honest, and I know it's a well-loved book, I read it partially because I was at a debate tournament, but I didn't have to judge, and I was in the library, and there was on the shelf, so I picked it up and read it in 2 hours or whatever. It's not a very, I mean, it's not a long read. It's not, it's not a book made for, I don't know what I was at the time, probably 35, for a 35-year-old dude, but I do read, I have read a lot of kids' books that I really did enjoy, but I would say I probably liked the book more than I liked the movie, but that's me. We can get. We'll dig in a little deeper. But I didn't love it. So,
right.
If all else fails, it's a gorgeous film.
It's
everything
pretty.
About it was very pretty, from the cinematography, the sets, the outfits. Everybody looked really great. And I read this tweet earlier today, and I'm gonna totally co-opt it because it's everything. It resonated with me because I too am on a journey to find Chris Pine and bring him home. You know, maybe I just liked it a little bit more because of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fair. Yeah, I thought it was a beautiful movie. I like the cast quite a bit. So whenever there's a good cast, that at least keeps me somewhat interested. You know, a little bum Chris Pine's not in it more. You know, he's barely there. That's the point.
He's Kirk and Steve Trevor.
Yeah, he is. Those are roles that he has played.
nicely done, Rachel. Movie podcast. Nailed it.
I am an IMDb.
That's right.
But yeah, it wasn't the most enthralling version of the hero's journey that I've ever witnessed, right? That's really what it is, right? It's the
Odyssey.
Yeah, exactly. And I've watched and read more compelling ones, I guess is probably the right word. So, but this is your spoiler warning. We're going to dive in now with details and things like that. So, where should we start?
At the beginning.
Okay.
Starts with Chris Pine being a genius and creating wormholes or something. I wasn't quite sure.
We should play Alt-J's Tessellate right now. Just really get on that, Derek. Huh?
Yeah.
Derek, in the booth, can we get that? Can we get that audio? Thank you.
You've got 20 seconds.
Oh, yeah. Right, we
don't go to break.
We can't afford that type of licensing. Yeah, so, okay. So, speaking of that, though, they have the Tesseract in this movie, which I know was a term that existed long before the MCU, but
the MCU kind of stole it.
Yeah. And when I heard that, I was like, Thanos is coming! I mean, it's a Disney production, right?
I mean, it's a crossover.
Yes. Each of the misses has an infinity gem.
There you go.
How excited would you have been if Josh Brolin showed up?
My gosh. If I was in a sleep, I would snap awake right then and been in forever. Yeah. And I would have stayed through the credits, too.
Yeah, and I do totally agree with the commenters.
Chagrin.
That Chris Pine does look 100% like Gary from Team America. If you look at Gary from Team America,
yes.
Chris Pine in this movie, there's a screenshot of the two of them side by side, and it is his hair, everything. It's 100% total credit. Yes, you were correct, 100%. What if Chris Pine really was Gary? Imagine it!
Wow. I mean,
the dumbest line in the entire movie. You do not go into a scientific presentation, make dumbass conjecture, and then just go, imagine it.
Wait, that's not how science works?
What if we could just teleport? Imagine it! That's not how you give a presentation. Give me some data. Do you have any theory? Like, you're 5 seconds into the presentation, and you've already just skipped everything to just, what if we could cure cancer by thinking about it? Imagine it!
So this movie, this
how do you really feel?
This part of the movie for me is the exact opposite of Interstellar, where it tried really hard to explain why love is the fourth dimension.
Ugh.
It's the same thing in both movies. It's love. We can travel through the entire galaxy in the blink of an eye if we know how to control love.
And I really hate it.
This
I really
is more
hate that.
Happiness.
Just in general.
Okay,
oh,
like,
just
well, except at the end, wasn't she like, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Oh, now everything's fixed.
You fell asleep. There were a few more.
Was there? I mean,
no,
I'm pretty sure.
That's
okay.
It.
That's what I thought.
The rest of
I
it is just the rest of them standing around.
Yeah, exactly.
So
there's a lot of Oprah just standing.
Yeah. Speaking of this,
in front of a green
she
screen,
literally, I think it was in her contract not to walk because I don't think she took a step the entire movie.
Or a moat.
Well, she's not.
She literally. Oprah doesn't have an emotion in this movie.
She grows. That's because she's not on set with anybody for most of it.
I agree,
right?
But she literally has no emotion. Mindy Kaling has no emotion.
Reese Witherspoon kicks a kid.
Reese,
so there's that.
Reese Witherspoon.
I liked Reese.
Is
I
would
Reese.
Say by far the most interesting
of the misses
of the any of them
of everybody.
I don't think she's the best. I don't think she's not who I like the best in the movie. I would say I like best. I'm gonna jack up the pronunciation, but Gugu Mbatha-Ra. I don't know. It's Gugu. I have no idea how to say it. I'm gonna say it like that. I thought she was fantastic. I thought she was the most interesting character in the movie. I thought she was the most realistic. She was the one I most related to. She was in Cloverfield Paradox recently. If you've
that
seen that
one.
On Netflix,
she was the wife.
She was the wife.
Wife. Yeah,
she
was great. Yeah.
She was Chris Pine's wife in the movie. Or Chris Pine was her husband in the movie. Sexist much. But I thought she was fantastic. She was, for me, she was the best part of the movie. Like, I believed her in this movie more than I believed anybody else. But
That's fair. I don't know that I have a favorite character. I found them all to be just drastically different from each other. I did like Michael Pena's when he turned into the...
Well, that was just a really cool effect when he becomes, like, Pinocchio.
Yeah, the marionette, that's the word, marionette.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was just a really cool effect. But, again, like, the movie's gorgeous, right? So the special effects were pretty solid. So he figures it out because he's staring at his wife and kid and he loves them and the world starts to warp and he decides to walk through it. Which
because he's got all his tech. And so he's got the vibrating frequency thing and the Chidaldi board, which is the two-dimensional board that you connect a frequency to and it vibrates. And then somehow that, and trust me, I've seen those before and loved something at the same time. Both of those things. Like, I'm looking at that.
But did you really love it?
Oh, it was a cheeseburger. Somebody had brought lunch, and I was like, oh my God. And no ripples formed in the air, and I got transported to an evil place.
Well, you don't need the board, because they don't use it ever again to travel.
No, they don't.
The rest of the movie.
No, they don't. You have to hit the right frequency until later, then you don't.
Well, then you just have to, know what the right frequency is in your head. You have to feel it. Maybe you have to love the frequency. Maybe that's the key.
What's the frequency, Kenneth? Yeah. Okay. All right.
Ray, you're being kind of quiet.
Are we ruining it for you?
So, no, you can't ruin a movie for me.
So he disappears, and then it's 4 years later, and the kids are having a rough time of it. Charles Wallace, who's the little brother, who everybody agrees is brilliant, is definitely a little bit of an odd duck.
First of all, never trust somebody with two first names. That's like, right away I knew that was it. It was over for this kid.
100%. That's true. That's just scientific.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Way more scientific than anything else in this movie. And then the sister Meg, the older sister Meg, who's the main character in the movie, that's the one we're supposed to mainly relate to. She's not getting along. And to be fair, the girls at their school are grade A bitches. I mean,
yeah,
they're
absolutely.
Like, here's the
I
thing.
Would have hit them too.
Like, here's the thing. She's got the thing on her locker. Like, literally, just give that to the principal. Like, just say, here's what.
Here's why I hit her in the face.
Right.
I will say the most emotion I felt in the entire movie was when her mother told her to write an apology letter to not just the principal, but right. also the girl. I was so angry at her for saying that.
Well,
and that's in the first 15
minutes. Used to beat the crap out of
that's
bullies.
True. But that's the first 15 minutes of the movie, and you really didn't have another big, giant emotional response the rest of the movie, did you?
Not really.
Well, there was a big response to Brussels Sprout Head when that happened.
Brussels Sprout Head?
Yeah, the flying leaf.
Oh, the kale.
Yeah.
Reese Withers.
Yeah. I mean, when she lets the children, when she lets one of the children fall off
yeah.
of her.
When they're all flying on her, like, which I'm sure is physical.
In all fairness.
I don't know how that works, but
Reese
science.
Witherspoon, Mrs. Watson was my favorite because of her lack of caring for children.
It's
like
true.
That, I empathize with that.
Wow.
So much. Like,
I mean, it's a fair point.
Right?
Fair enough. No, I mean, when they're flying, they do use a term that's real. Lift. That's a
right.
thing.
That is a thing. Right. I mean, that makes it all legitimate. Right. Right. That's how things work.
A car service.
I remember learning about Lift in school.
Right.
Right. If you get a plane, a lot of people don't know this, and you can hold on to the wing, once the plane gets going, if you just let go,
then you move at the same speed and
right.
everything.
How is she doing that lift? It's less.
Don't try that at home.
Do try that at home, please. If you're dumb enough to believe that, we don't want you listening to this podcast.
We kind of skipped ahead, but yes. But
sorry,
yes.
I went to
no,
leave.
No. So there's these three magical, they call them the misses. I think we might call them witches or
yeah.
whatever in a different story. And they are.
But they pop out of nowhere. Like, there's no reason for them to be there.
No, they're a complete... They're a plot device. Mm. I mean, to be honest...
Well, you remove them, and the plot's almost the exact same.
They,
it's just how do they get to Uriel.
They could, the two kids could have gone into the lab. Charles Wallace fiddles with the
mm-hmm.
thing because he's the genius, and he dials the boom, and they end up in the same place. Like, literally, that you could have done
mm-hmm.
the exact same thing.
That's an interesting point. I hadn't really thought about it, but yeah, I guess you're right.
Like, there's one point where they met her, and it's when she uses the spectacles that Mrs. Who gave her.
Right.
Well, they
other
have like
than
a,
that, nothing.
They have a whole scene where, like, we're going to give you all gifts, and only one of them does that, which seems really, like, a weird moment.
It's because Mindy Kaling is a national treasure, okay? Like, just...
Her being in the movie is the gift.
But the thing that bugged me about that is the part where she's, oh, now I don't have to give quotes anymore because we're not clever enough to find quotes
for the rest
to match the plot points that we want to do. Come on, Google some stuff for a while. Like
Lyft?
It is
well,
weird that
too,
the excuse was is that she's weakening. So as she gets more tired, she uses her own words more.
Which is an advantage. Like I can make things more clear now because I'm weakened.
Right.
What?
It seems like that would be harder for her to come up with her own thought processes.
It would have been better had she been speaking in other languages, because she couldn't, like, compute what the kids
I can't
knew
translate
how to, speak.
To English.
Like, she's yeah. speaking all these different languages. That makes more sense to me, because it's more confusing than for the children. And
oh, what if she just slipped into binary, but Charles Wallace knows binary, so boom, he can decode it. Like, even that would have been
or
more
most,
interesting.
Morse code with clicks.
It's like echolocation.
That would
right.
have been great.
Which would have raised the science bar on the movie a lot.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, I do give a lot of credit to her friend Calvin, who is just along for this ride the entire movie. Calvin,
he's a pretty boy. That's a good-looking kid.
He has good eyes.
He does.
Pretty.
I feel like they kept trying to make me care about him, and I was like, I don't really care about this.
To be honest, I cared more about him than I did about the two actual kids.
Here's
I didn't
why
care
you're
about
supposed
any of
to care about
yes,
his
that's
kid.
Fair.
He grows up in like book 3 or 4 and marries Meg Murray. And you have to care.
Spoiler alert.
Oh my god. Like, they're really going to make four more movies.
Okay,
this.
Is there a post-credit scene, by the way? I didn't stay.
I didn't either.
Okay.
I was asleep.
Does
okay.
Disney do that for their regular movies?
I saw something online about a post-credit scene, but I didn't stick around. To be honest, I stuck around for the post-credit scene for Black Panther and was disappointed, so I'm like, eh.
Yeah, we all were.
And that's like 18 minutes of
that's
credits.
That's a long time. Those credits went by for so long. I literally was like, I think I'm the only person on Earth who wasn't involved in making this movie. Like, I think I've seen all the names.
In the whole world.
Yours was probably in there somewhere.
Yeah, you would have missed it. If you've mentioned Black Panther on your podcast, I'm sure
they gave
you credit.
In there, yeah, thanks for the promo. Yeah, exactly.
But yes. They do try and shoehorn in a little backstory for him about like how his dad's really mean and doesn't appreciate
his
accomplishments.
Okay, so I appreciate that. I appreciate small stuff like that.
Yeah.
Those are the things that really get me. When they show the teenage girl and she's obsessed with her body and she has like a list of all the foods she can't eat. Like, it just small things like that make me think the director cared a little bit more. Were they necessary? Absolutely not.
I get it. My only thing about that, and that has nothing to do with this, those scenes, they were fine. But the whole idea that all of our badness is all because of some alien.
Oh, I
makes
hate
it,
that.
Makes it seem like I'm not responsible for my own badness. Mm-hmm. My own badness is really this dark thing multiple galaxies away.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to take that a step farther, I don't, unless it's like the point of a good chunk of the film, I never like when there's someone who's truly, truly mean, and then it's kind of excused away because she has her own problems. Right?
Yeah,
so like
right.
We're supposed to feel bad for her, when really, she's just terrorizing this poor girl who supposedly lost her dad, right? I don't like when movies and stories do that, just on a personal level, but...
Yeah. And the flip at the end where she's like, oh, I'll wave. I'm like, oh my gosh, everybody's good now.
They're gonna be
what?
Friends.
No.
Gonna be friends
just like
now.
Spider-Man not joining the Avengers at the end of a Homecoming. But...
Yeah, that's exactly...
It's just a flip of character flip, and I for no reason.
I'll tell you one thing that bugged me about Meg, and it's not specifically her or the actress Storm Reid is the young woman who played her. It's the role, and it happens all the time. It's the dumb repeater,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, I will tell you, Martin Freeman does this as much as every it seems like every role, whether it's in Sherlock or The Hobbit or Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, it's the role of the I must repeat everything you say, like the last thing you said. We're going to tessellate.
He's really good at the quizzical look, and
right.
Why they haven't done that.
Right. This is Mrs. What's it? Miss What's it? Like every time, I didn't count how many times because I didn't realize it was going to happen the whole movie. But if you count how many times that her line is really just questioningly repeating the last thing whoever before her said. And I don't know if they're just doing it to say the things that Mrs. Who's It and What's It and are saying are weird. And so she's got to re-repeat it to let you know, oh, these are weird things.
I just feel like it's lazy writing more than that. But maybe that's why they do it. I don't know.
Well,
it happens over and over again. I get it because there's got to be a character who's our window into the
right.
universe.
And
you know,
there's
got
to be an excuse for exposition.
Right, right, right. We have to explain it to somebody. I mean, if you the movie Hellboy, you have the new agent who's got to come in so that they can explain everything to him, which is our way to learn about everything. But it's just such a painful device when it's overdone. And I felt like for her, it was the whole movie.
Well, because I feel like that's just how they use the concept of she's just the super skeptic. And right. The trick is, of all the people, she has to be the one to believe that this is real. That's the only way to get her dad back. Right? Everybody else could believe it. Everybody else could go after him. But it's her. She's the only one who can handle it. For whatever that reason. Like, she's supposed to be very special. The thing that's special about her is that she's skeptical. That's her special thing. She doesn't really trust anybody.
Oh, it's you.
And I think it's recognizing and being accepting of her own faults. And for faults, we take out the word faults and put in qualities, if you like, mm-hmm. Which I would prefer to do. But I guess that's the idea, that she has to know herself and accept herself and not sort of reject herself and want to be somebody else. That's the secret to going through the Tessel. What do they call it? Tesser. When they Tesser.
Which is like just slipstream drive in Star Trek is what it looks like. So.
Yeah.
I waited 36 minutes.
Without the spores.
Pretty good.
Just need some spores. I think that's what those little flowers, those little walking flowers, they release spores.
Yeah, those were weirdly, like, they're a cool idea, but I feel like they only existed because they were going to drop a kid and they weren't sure how to save them.
The funny part of that was is, so Broccoli Head, with the three kids on top, flies because they got to get somewhere fast, right? It's far away, and so we're going to take you and we're going to zoom away, but then he falls off, and in the amount of time, it took for them to fly to there, all the flowers just ran there.
And the other misses.
With Mindy Kaling, who I think is that fast.
Probably not.
I don't think she's that fast. I love her, but she's not, I don't think she's fleet. And so, like, he falls all this way and literally gets cushioned by this many flowers. I guess he didn't kill any of the flowers either. It seemed like some of them would have been crushed. I don't know.
They're very tough.
Yeah, they're magical. And couldn't any of the, like, Oprah, come on.
But she would have had to move.
No, she was there too.
But she was giant. Just reach up and section. He's practically that tall.
She was much smaller there on that planet.
Right. I just want everyone to know. If you haven't seen it yet, I've shown more emotional range in the last 2 minutes than Oprah does in the entire movie.
Fact.
Yeah,
she's just kind of.
I was excited to see Oprah in something because she doesn't act all that often, especially anymore, and. Like,
yeah.
It really felt like, for the most part, she just did something in a sound studio for like 2 or 3 days.
Oh, it took them longer to do her hair and makeup than it took to film all of her actual lines. Because how many different versions of the misses were there? Four or five, I think.
They do change pretty often.
Every time they test her, they kind of change. But then at some point, they change back to their
original.
Oprah
had four outfits and one was cut. Mindy Kaling had three, and Reese had two.
I think you just got threatened in chat. I can't be sure, but...
Oprah has people, John. Watch what you say.
Right. If Oprah's listening, thank you.
Nicholas Cage for us. No, and I was excited about Oprah, too, because I think Oprah's great. I just...
Always. Way to cover your back now that you know she has people. I mean,
always
like, I didn't know about Oprah.
She's a woman who takes a plane trip to get her hair done because she likes that particular person.
She's not the only person I thought was a waste in this movie. I just... Galifianakis, I thought... wasn't very Zach Galifianakis. I just thought he was kind of there.
But I totally ship Reese Witherspoon and Zach Galifianakis now. I really want them to date.
I hear you.
I feel like with Zach Galifianakis' role here, the happy medium was basically the same. They told him the same thing they tell Will Ferrell when he would do like Celebrity Jeopardy. Like, we know you're this crazy funny comedian. We just want you to be really straight and narrow. That's what it felt like.
And he was. But if you're going to do that, then why? You know, it's not like... This is a kids movie, right?
Right.
I mean, the target audience for this movie, I think, is kids.
Yeah, I would agree.
Who saw The Hangover?
I don't think and that's my thing. I don't think a lot of kids are like, you know what? Zach Galifianakis, I love his work. Love his work. Hangover, loved it.
Between Two Ferns, big fans.
The subtlety in his role right now, man, I know what he can do.
So many. When he's balancing there, and that balancing stupid area. Like that.
Oh my god, that was amazing. The most pointless room in the entire world. Like, in the universe and the galaxy.
Center. See, everything was very literal. Literally find your center. Mm-hmm. That's what they were trying to tell you to do. But the cast is for the parents, right? The cast is so people go, oh, yeah. Chris Pine and Oprah are in it. Let's go take the kids, right? Like, that's what that's for.
I'm sorry, this guy just said that their celebrity couple name would be Zeese where they're naked.
I like it.
I'm going to change my cosplay name to that.
There you go.
Thank you, Comic Book Cover Story, for chatting with us. That is hilarious. So let's talk for a minute about that evil, though, because, John, you mentioned how, like, it's...
I hate disembodied blobs of evil.
It was like the nothing in the never-ending story.
It's never been good since then. Parallax and Green Lantern was screwed up, Galactus and Fantastic Four, and then the It.
Ego.
Yeah, and they kept calling it, right? Is that in the books? Because that drove me nuts. I just watched It not that long ago, and... And then now there's another It. I kept expecting a clown to pop up.
So that is part of the problem with it. This movie came out a little too late, I think, because so much of its terminology is used in other more popular things that everyone feels like... I feel like if you went into this and you didn't know how old the book was, you would think it just borrowed a ton of stuff.
Yeah, sure.
Right? Where it didn't. Some of it may... It was older, so...
The book came out in 1956,
right.
And the Tesseract and the It were in the book. Like, right. There was so much deviation from the book, from what I hear, but those two things were there.
Those were there.
So.
Well, and I feel like a lot of times I get it. You know, a book, sometimes it's tough to take a book and adapt it into a movie and include everything in there. You've only got, you know, 2.5 hours, especially if it's a kid's movie. You know, you don't want to make the movie too long, so you've got to try to cut and piece some things together. And I really don't have a problem with that a lot of the time. My problem here was there still wasn't that much story. There's a lot of time standing around looking at pretty stuff. Mm-hmm. Watching three kids run down a hill, like, oh, you can go do it. And, like, they're running down a hill. And, like, at this point, the hill just looks like a hill on Earth. It's just like a hill with grass. Like,
we were having the best time running down that hill.
Do you know how kids don't like to run now?
That's true.
Like, I don't want to run down a hill.
We would have rolled down the hill.
Right. And then later on, went, oh, chiggers.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's the magic, is there were none of those.
No chiggers.
Right. Right.
So yeah, the runtime's 1 hour and 49 minutes.
Yeah, so it's short.
So long, it's kind of long for a kid's movie.
It is, but I felt like there was a lot of filler. It started off slow.
You said it's a short book, and so there probably was a lot of filler.
It is, but I felt like they could have fled. But there's even some of the science stuff in the book, I think, is cut out in this. And I realize they don't want to make it too sciencey, but the book itself was for kids. I mean, you can explain some things and have some actual dialogue and talking that makes sense. And not just I never felt like the villain, the bad guy, the It, okay? I never got any backstory. I mean, I didn't feel like I really understood what
it's
that
just
was
all
at
the
all.
The badness in the universe, disembodied.
It just has always existed.
Right, tendriling out. But
I
it's
am a
really
fan of
bad
child
now. We're
possession.
Right on the- Right.
So, you know, that was good.
Right. Well, where child it was, possession is 9/10 of the law.
Exactly.
Where it was always weird, too, right? So they're on this planet and they see it, and it's like a thing, like a meteorite coming towards the planet. Yeah. But then it also has tendrils out all over the galaxy to every planet, but they can visit it because it is a planet.
Right.
So I wasn't even sure what it was sometimes.
But the Misses couldn't visit it, but somehow...
They did visit it.
Well, because her will,
we can't really stay here.
Because Meg's willpower was so strong, she took over the Tesser that she wasn't able to really travel like everybody else and pull everybody who's billions of years old with her, who are much more powerful than her.
Right, but she could pull...
I think.
She could pull the other two, but then they didn't really go directly. She pulled the other two kids.
Yeah.
But Charles Wallace got separated, and then they're in some weird... forest for no apparent reason. It's the only reason they're in that forest and they run for a while is for her to show she knows some more physics. Maybe we're reminded every once in a while, we lift. And then, oh, you know what we're going to do? We're going to jump in this stump. And
how
then the tornado.
That? That's a physics teacher.
I didn't feel like it was super safe. But just imagine. Imagine it.
They had no seatbelts, no helmets. I feel like they at least had a concussion.
Popped right out of it. No problem. In a tornado, I think that's a lot of people say the safest place is in an old stump.
Dorothy was fine inside the house, right?
Right. So.
No, she got a concussion.
Or did she?
Yes.
Or was she dreaming the whole thing? Wait.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I get it now.
She had a fever dream from a concussion, okay? Like,
that movie makes so much more sense now.
Right.
Yeah, so anyway, that journey was such a weird side part.
Yeah.
I guess it's all the it trying to manifest itself somehow. But, and then at the end, even Charles Wallace's, the tendrils are grabbing her.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted her maybe to realize that somehow that was her own self-doubt grabbing her, and that if she could sort of overcome that, maybe that would stop it all. Like, it was just a manifestation of our own negativity. Even that. But no, it's just real tendrils grabbing her. Why not just stab her with a tendril? Like, if your goal is to stop her.
Yeah, that seems like the easy out.
Rather than just, like, kind of, like, push on her a little bit and...
Like, wrap her up. Let her go.
Over and over again.
Let's wrap her up. That took way too long. To talk for
that
a while
scene went
now.
On for way too long, while Charles Wallace's face was cracking apart, which was also kind of weird.
So here's a small thing that, you know, kind of bothered me. They specifically told them to be suspicious, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
These little bastards ate food. Like, how many fairy tales are there about don't
all
eat
of them.
Food?
Right. Alice in Wonderland. Classic 101.
Hansel and Gretel. Like, don't eat food. Like, mm-hmm. just... You go a little hungry. It's
well,
fine.
That was the thing. Like, Meg didn't eat it. She didn't even say, like, guys, we're supposed to be suspicious of everything. Remember what the missus said? She's just like, no thanks. Right. I'm just going to let them eat it and see what happens.
That was the smartest thing she did in the movie.
But they made a point to say that she was pretty smart throughout this whole movie.
Like, yeah, they kept having to tell us because we forgot that she kept repeating everything.
Because she just Charles Wallace is constantly doing stuff to show that he's incredibly intelligent, and we're just constantly told that she is. But she doesn't do anything.
But what is... We keep being told he is. But let me ask you this. What does Charles Wallace do that shows us he's intelligent?
He's precocious. And we're schooled through sitcoms to know that the precocious kid is the smart one.
He keeps showing off his vocabulary word of the day, which are not really that complicated of words, to be 100% honest. And he shows us he tells us these words. But other than that, he completely trusts these bizarre, emotionless Mrs. ladies, okay? And apparently that's just him being smart and being able to sense their smartness or something. I don't know, but I'm trying to remember what he actually does.
So she's smarter than him because she's like, this is all completely ridiculous.
Clearly he's supposed to be way smarter than her, but I'm just saying I don't remember seeing anything in the movie that actually establishes him as being smart other than them telling us. He doesn't invent anything. He doesn't do... He sits in a off to the side and draws a picture. I mean, he's...
He boiled some milk, okay?
Yeah, that's a good point.
A six-year-old boiled some milk.
Yeah, they didn't have a microwave. I've never boiled milk in my life.
I just did it for dinner. Like...
Now, we went with somebody who had seen or read the book also, and she said that that in the book...
Sorry.
They weren't both smart. They... Charles Wallace was the smart one.
Yeah.
And that was it. But in the movie, they kept driving the point home how smart both of them were.
Right.
Which was a little weird. Since I haven't read the books, I don't know the other differences in it, but I'm sure there's a whole
Reese
lot.
Reese Witherspoon's character should have changed into a flying, like, centaur Pegasus kind of thing, and not a...
That would have been pretty cool.
Floating broccoli rock.
Brussels sprout.
I think we're supposed to believe that's some type of alien creature that she turns into.
Sure.
It doesn't even matter. It was just pretty. It gave her a chance to circle Oprah in a way that all of us do as a society.
And for Disney to make toys. Like, come on.
I guess.
Are they making toys?
I
there's
would
the Pop
buy
Vinyls.
It.
They have the Funkos.
I would buy the broccoli Rob Reese.
Wait, there's a broccoli puff?
No. I guess not of that.
Oh, okay.
No, sorry.
They have Funkos of everything. So do they already have Funkos of the Misses?
Yeah.
Yes.
Is the Oprah one the same size as the rest of them?
It's not a super size.
It's from when they're on the planet, on the evil it planet.
Yeah.
That's what I think. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Can I just come back real quickly to the part where Minnie Kay goes back to her regular, just regular speech and how dumb that was?
It caught me off guard because like, all of a sudden she's just talking like, what happened?
What just happened? Like, what? And then even, like, they you're talking
read
like
four
yourself.
Books to prepare this script. Four, okay? Like, that's the best I could do.
Like, I feel like you can, there's a lot of quotes out there for, like, anything you want to say. Like, even then they, like, just have her, the thing that Reese Witherspoon says, which is basically just a metaphor anyway. She's not even saying, there's got to be some inspirational quote out there that says what Reese Witherspoon wanted to say. Give that line to Mindy Kaling. Give Reese Witherspoon the glasses. Boom. Good. You're good to go.
Have you ever thought of being a scriptwriter in Hollywood? I mean, but
I'm too old. Reese's character was built on the whole insulting everybody, so she had to be the one to be like, and my gift to you is how sucky you are. And
well, just, my gift to you is these glasses, because clearly you're blind.
There yeah, you go.
That would have worked.
Insult.
Yeah, that would have worked.
Because that was her theme. That was her theme was, I don't know why Meg is even here.
The entire time.
She was Peter Griffin.
Which is... Which
You're
is
welcome.
That's
that.
Nice. That's nice.
Thank you. Thank yeah. you. Thanks.
I'm just Chris Pine is fine. He's good in the movie. He's Chris Pine.
Yeah.
Although at the end he's kind of shamed a little bit because he wants to leave Charles Wallace behind.
You leave
yeah.
the demonic child
and
behind.
At that point,
yeah.
I did too, because the kid is just entirely too weird, positive the whole time.
True.
But he still doesn't have any friends. Like,
I'm just not sure what he was supposed to do in that situation. Like, Charles Wallace is going to get ready to feed these people to the It, and he's got a chance to save his daughter, so he's going to take that chance.
The child that he knows. Remember, he disappeared shortly after they adopted him. They don't even know this kid.
I mean,
that's a good point.
That's true.
Come on.
That's a good
yeah.
point.
And, like, he shows up, he meets the kid as a sociopath, and...
He's been there for 4 years. I think we gotta cut Chris Pine's character a little slack on wanting to get out of there.
Do you think 4 years actually passed for him?
He had
or...
no idea.
That's a good question. He didn't know, but he was curled up in the fetal position in a hallway, so... Which didn't seem that bad. I mean, to be honest, 100% honest, like, that doesn't sound that bad to me right
We've
now.
We've seen
like,
worse
I don't have to,
prisons.
He's clearly well-fed.
It's true.
You know, he's not like skin and bones. He hasn't. I don't know if he's been tortured. I don't know what's going on.
Did his beard grow?
No. Oh,
that's how he
but that's why I don't know if time really passed for him. I feel like for him, maybe it was just a couple of weeks or a couple of days even. Because his beard, like, yeah, facial
hair. But if that was you, your beard would have been crazy.
Well, you know, Chris and I have different genes. Okay. You know, it took him a lot longer to do that beard than it would be. That's fine.
He grew that for 6 months before the movie. And that was.
That was a Jim Carrey
dedication.
Beard, is what that was.
Dedication.
But I,
okay,
I,
so then he's back on the hook for abandoning the child.
But you have an opportunity to save the non-demonic child from the demonic child. I feel like you gotta take that chance.
Well, they kind of wanted to do that earlier. The missus wanted to take the kids back and regroup and reevaluate what's going on, which is the most logical thing we've heard any of them say up to that point in the movie. Because up till then, it was all magic babble nonsense. And so we got to go back. No, we got to take over the Tesser. So, so that was kind of a little bit of a theme. Do we abandon and go back or do we push forward? Now, did the misses, do you think that they really knew that Meg was going to do that? And that's why she was there all along. And they really wanted her to take over the Tesser and do that all in a kind of double bluff game sense. How worried did they look when they showed up to tell them, oh, you took over the Tesser and that's why you're here? You know how worried they looked? None. Because
yeah,
none
true.
Of them ever had an emotion.
That's true.
So, now maybe they're just not.
Maybe that is their
worry. Maybe they're just kind of Vulcan.
They also knew they were going to bail in like 10 seconds.
That's
true. So.
That's a good point. It's hard to be worried.
I would believe that Oprah knew the whole time. I feel like, because she's supposed to be the oldest and the most powerful.
Mrs. Witch or Oprah?
Just Oprah. Just Oprah. Mrs. Witch. I feel like she may have known. I don't feel like the other two would have thought that. But I don't know. Maybe the whole thing was just totally contrived on the off chance they were right.
I think the whole thing was they were using child warriors. They were putting children into battle against their evil because they were too cowardly to do it themselves.
Oh.
So they just basically armed these children with these glasses and some lame clues and threw them in to a dungeon with a tornado stump throwing tornado beast
right next to a beautiful beach.
Right.
I mean, if I was an evil thing, I would want a beach near me somewhere.
I did like towards the end where they end up in the spherical white room and Meg has to walk up the invisible stairs. That was a cool looking scene. Just visually, I like that.
Yeah, I think we've pretty much driven the point home about how visually stunning that scene was. Cool, though.
So here's another question, I guess. What was the point? Not even just from a movie point of view, from its point of view. The it. What is the point of the forest and the tornado and the beach and all that stuff to then have them drink stuff to trick them into going where you really wanted them to go anyway? Why not just put them there?
Well, part of me feels like the obstacles were designed to separate them.
Okay.
Right? So the first obstacle was the big wall with the tornado. And the idea was that this separates Charles Wallace from the other two. So they can take him over. Right? But then Smart Meg figures out the physics of log traveling. And so they meet back up at the beach.
It was Lyft, wasn't it?
I'm sure it was. Yeah, Lyft is very powerful. And then they end up at the beach where they're all really hungry. So the other guy, because he's a dude, is just going to eat whatever sandwiches are thrown in his face.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And Charles Wallace is also going to do that. So they're going to separate Meg, but they don't. Yeah, then it starts to fall apart.
Which is weird because Charles Wallace had been the hip one the whole time. He was the one who really knew everything that was going on. He knew all the misses. He kind of knew everybody and what the deal was. And then all of a sudden, he's like...
This tastes like sand.
Right, it tastes like sand. If you want to trick a kid into eating something so that you can take over their mind...
Don't have it taste like sand.
Why would you have it taste like sand, Ryan?
Well, so that was interesting because it only tasted like sand to him. Calvin thought it was a real sandwich.
Because they keep pointing out Calvin's a big old dum-dum.
What's the point of having Calvin?
They don't care about Calvin.
But...
Well, they try to kill him multiple times.
That's true.
So is the idea if he eats enough sand sandwiches, he dies?
Maybe. We didn't get that far.
Calvin, you mean? Or
Calvin, yeah.
Or anybody.
I don't think they cared about Calvin. I think Calvin was scenery to them.
So then why did the sandwiches taste normal to him?
Because he's a big old dum-dum. I just said
that. Do taste and intelligence go together?
Yes, could be.
I'm not aware of it.
But if it's a magic sand food. Yeah.
Magic sand food.
Right, that's all made out of dark emotion.
Can we talk for a second about how the sand food was sandwiches?
Oh, damn it.
At the beach.
This is where we end the podcast. We're done. This is where everybody plugs it.
That's on purpose.
I'll be honest, I came in thinking this movie was pretty mad, and I think it's gone downhill.
Yeah, right. So our podcast is really good.
Yeah, it's
really
good.
Making people feel worse
that's
about movies they liked. Or
I was
or
so worried, I'll be honest with you, I was so worried coming over that you guys were all going to be like, this movie was, like, amazing.
You honestly have to watch the podcast.
I never liked movies. And I was going to come in and go, super meh on this movie.
Ryan's, like, three movies in his whole life. Yeah. Big Trouble in Little China.
That's one of them.
Ghostbusters.
Two on his chest right now.
Ninja Turtles.
Ghostbusters and the original Ninja Turtles.
Secret of the Use was pretty good, too.
Combat Cold Cuts.
I like Secret of the Use. Give me a break. Whatever.
Go Ninja, Go.
That's true.
All right.
Why haven't you done a Vanilla Ice cosplay?
Specifically from that scene? Because I can't do the dance. And if I was going to do the
cosplay. I believe in you. You just got to practice. Pull up some YouTube videos. You got this.
No, thanks.
All right. So,
last thing I will say about the movie. Sorry, real quick. I know we're almost out of time. They kept using this movie in the pre-movie thing about don't have your phone go off during the movie. Did you keep seeing that? The scene where they're talking, she's introducing the thing, and then maybe it's the theater that I go to. I usually go to the B&B theater.
Yeah, we didn't see that, did we?
But I've seen it now in front of Black Panther twice and this one where they're talking and then he says the thing, imagine it. And then there's a ringing in the audience and that's when the whole audience starts laughing and kind of walking out. And it's like, don't have your phone ring during the movie. And a ring
we didn't
time.
Have that.
No.
So I saw it right before this movie, so that scene was already triply annoying to me before I even watched the movie. And in case you didn't pick it up, it's still really annoying to me. Sorry.
No.
I thought you liked it.
AMC used to do the one where it would have the random sounds all around, including a crying baby.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember the first time we ever heard that, I was with my dad. And he thought it was a real baby. Yeah. And he goes, son of a bitch.
I did the same thing.
So the first time I heard that, I was watching Troy in the theaters, and my friend leans over, and he was like, you know, babies can't cry if they don't have windpipes. And I laughed so hard, like, unnecessarily.
That's actually science. Wow. That's actually science. Like, he's obviously brilliant.
I mean, I think...
John, our DM. Oh, okay,
yeah, I know.
I think babies could still cry tears.
Stop it.
That's the act of crying, you know. Anyway, all right.
Plus, they don't get lift.
That is very important, too.
Relevant. Has very little lift.
So now we'll go around and we'll give our grades for the movie. We normally do this as a letter grade. If you want to do a percentage or some other form, you're welcome to do so. Ryan?
The parts I saw, I'm going to give a D+, because it was pretty at least, and that gives it a passing grade for visuals alone, but the rest of the movie was pretty crappy, so, yeah.
Okay.
I don't think it should fail, because it did something successfully, at least.
That's fair. I appreciate that.
I'll give it a C, or a C+, if you're going to go see it, maybe with kids. It is a movie where there's not a lot of super threatening scenes. It's not overly violent. I see a lot of people taking kids to go see, little kids to go see Black Panther, which I think is a little too violent for little kids. Actually, I take it back. I think it's actually a lot too violent for little kids. But so in that sense, if you're an adult and you're kind of like a science fiction kind of a person and you're maybe looking for a movie to go see, it's a D.
Annihilation.
A D or an F. In that grade. But if you're looking for a fun maybe movie to see with your kids, maybe a C.
I don't know.
You seem very conflicted.
You can love it.
I don't love it. I love the way it looks so much, and I love the fact that just about every group is represented in this. So, you know, I'm all about representation and
but yes, I wanted to love it for that reason.
Right? Like, I want Ava DuVernay to make more movies.
Sure.
I want these women to be in more movies as heroes and not as, you know, just the standard mother in the corner kind of thing. But I can't do it. It was just not that good. And that sucks. So, looks A, subject D.
So, C plus?
Why do you need one? Just go.
Okay,
it's your
all right.
Turn.
All right, yeah, I wanted to like it for all those reasons. I also wanted to like it because, theoretically, if it had done well, you'd have a new fantasy sci-fi saga that is kid-friendly and
also,
very
you love
beautiful.
The book, Cave of Time.
Yes, I thought I had read this book, but I didn't. I read the Choose Your Own Adventure book.
You probably had no idea how this movie was going to end.
Oh, was it a Choose Your Own Adventure book? Mm-hmm. I love those. DC's making some of those with the DC comic book characters.
That's
like
great.
There's a Superman Choose Your Own Adventure one and
everything. That's fun.
Yeah, but it's for little kids, so you probably don't die almost every time. I had the one that was a spy one, and you died like
almost all of them.
So finally you just had to go through and read and find a successful ending, and then try to find a way back that would get you, and it's like, okay.
I used to read a lot of decisions I never made. I read lots of Choose Your Own Adventure books. I used to mark with sticky notes all of the endings, so that way every time I would die, I would just step back until, you know, and just keep going, so I would read eventually every page. So I'm going to go ahead and give it a C-. It's a beautiful movie. I do enjoy the cast for the most part. I think that most of them are pretty solid, and I do think it's a good kids movie, right? It's not really offensive in any way. It's not overly violent. So you could take kids of fairly young ages to it, and it would be very visually entertaining for them for 2 hours.
Comic book cover story. We're so sorry. None of us saw it, although I hear Thanos was great.
Yeah.
So we didn't know. Like, so Disney movies don't, to my knowledge, never really did post-credit scenes.
Honestly, at that point, I was so bored. I couldn't imagine a post-credit scene bringing it back.
If it was Thanos, maybe.
I'd just be sitting though.
And doing
I was
nothing.
In a mostly empty theater because I was seeing a matinee on Monday because it's spring break. And so I was kind of off all over by myself on one side. And I did actually crush some candy during this movie because I was just like, there was just long periods of time where there just wasn't a lot happening. And so, yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah. So, what was your grade, Derek?
C-.
Okay.
Yeah, C-. So
anybody else upset that, you know, it wasn't a wrinkle in time, it was a ripple in space? Like, no, me.
Space time. It could have been.
I think so. That's why I think maybe Chris Pine wasn't there for 4 years, because there was some timey wimey stuff happening. Maybe that's a stretch. I don't know.
They gave us some razors.
I have watched some of Doctor Who.
Not anything with Tennant.
See, I would have liked to have seen them take, like, they had the frequency plate to make it like, okay, if you take a string and you vibrate it, you can get harmonics. You can get these parts that that vibrate more and less. And then the same thing with the plate, and then imagine, okay, so we're going to do the same thing, only with 4 dimensions. So we're going to go to 3 dimensions and then 4 dimensions, and it's that 4th dimension that causes this ability to teleport. Now, how do you know where you're going to teleport or where it comes out? If it's going to be...
I'm sorry.
But that's how you get back home, okay? I swear they should have just put ruby red slippers on her and just had her, which also wasn't how it was in the book. They weren't red in the book. They were silver. Yeah. But that's a different story. Next time we'll be ripping apart Wizard of Oz.
So topical, 1939. Let's do it.
Ray may get mad if we tear apart that movie, though.
I wouldn't tear apart that movie, partially because it's not claiming to be a science fiction movie.
That's true.
Fantasy.
Right.
That's true.
I can't say anything about it that I haven't already heard.
That's probably true.
It was more internally consistent than this movie.
Oh, absolutely.
I wonder how this one syncs up with Dark Side of the Moon.
Are you going to watch it again to find out?
Yeah, when the Blu-ray comes out, 4K, Derek's going to buy it.
Yeah, that's going to happen. All right, so, John, where can people find you and the Worst Comic Podcast Ever?
Yeah, absolutely. So, Facebook, if you look up Worst Comic Podcast Ever, if you go on there, that's where we post most of our stuff. But you can also find us on Twitter, WCP Ever. We're there. We're also on Instagram. So those are the main places to find us. And then for the podcast itself, we're on iTunes, or just look podcast, Worst Comic Podcast Ever, and we're on most of the different podcasting networks. You can find us.
Awesome. Well, yep. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you guys for having me on. This has been a blast. I appreciate it very much.
Awesome. And Ryan, where can people find you and Buster Props?
Social media, Buster Props. I mean, that's pretty much it. I don't want you looking at my personal page, so don't look me up. But look up Buster Props.
They're changing their name to Tesser Props.
I'm thinking about it, or a Wrinkle in Props.
A Wrinkle in Props. I like it.
You would.
Yeah.
You would.
What about a Buster in Time?
Please stop.
A Buster in Props.
No. Sorry.
And Ray?
I'm Siren Ray, as per usual. And my favorite movie is Wizard of Oz, so I wouldn't tear it apart.
No, I could. Yeah. Wizard
of Oz has stood the test of time. It's not like...
Literally.
Yeah, I'd have to really, really reach to be able to say anything negative about that.
That's fair. And I am The Star Trek Dude on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and all those good things. You can find us at Heroes Podcasts. That is plural, heroespodcasts.com.
And it's your birthday.
And it is my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yeah, you turned 43 today, I think. Isn't that what...
I was going to say, we're further apart than that.
Well, you could have been like the Doogie Howser of teachers.
I was not.
We are on, you can find us on iTunes, Google Play, Blog Talk Radio, and Spreaker. Join us live Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central, twitch.tv/heroespodcast.
Next week, we're reviewing Tomb Raider. And that is getting much better reviews.
The new Tomb Raider looks fantastic. I'm really excited for that one. I think they've done a good job. I think that the casting is the actress who's playing Lara Croft. I think it looks awesome. And I love that they've made her, it looks much more action oriented and not just boob oriented. Yep. So I think it looks great.
It's very focused on the new video games, the reboots of the games. But yeah, we'll talk about that next week. Chat with us. We had a few people in chat tonight. I really appreciate everybody who joined us live. It's always fun.
That was your birthday present.
That was my birthday present. So thank you to everyone who did that. We will catch you guys next week. See you next time.
Bye.